Today, we'll talk about three big ideas from the career of Daniel Kahneman. Hi there, everyone. It's Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with stories about current events and trending topics. By listening here, you get great exposure to English in a way that you might not get elsewhere. That's because we mix authentic storytelling with a little bit of English learning. Last week, you learned about the life and work of Daniel Kahneman, the psychologist considered the grandfather of behavioral economics. He had a long academic career. He collaborated with many of the leading minds in psychology and economics, and he won the Nobel Prize in 2002. But we didn't have time last week to talk about the major insights from Kahneman's career, so that's what we'll do today. I'm only going to talk about three major ideas, and we'll only be able to scratch the surface. But by listening today, you'll know more about his work, and maybe you'll be interested enough to read one of his books. In the second half of today's lesson, I'll show you what it means if something sticks with you. This is lesson number 678, so that means you can find the full lesson, including the quiz and exercises, at plainenglish.com/678. Before we dive into today's story, you've heard me mention some of the great ways our Plus membership can help you upgrade your English, and you might be curious about what that looks like. We've recently unlocked some free samples so that you can try out the premium features for yourself. Even if you don't join, you'll still learn something from the sample lessons. Sound good? Look for the link that says free samples at the top of plainenglish.com. I've also put a direct link to the samples at the bottom of the show notes of this episode. Now, we're ready to start today's story. Today, we're going to look at three themes from Daniel Kahneman's behavioral science research. The first theme is prospect theory. That's the idea that the Nobel Committee cited when awarding him the Nobel Prize for Economic Sciences in 2002. Then, we'll look at his work on human decision-making. That formed the basis of his best-selling book, Thinking Fast and Slow. And finally, we'll look at the serious flaws in human judgment, which he described in a book called Noise, A Flaw in Human Judgment. Let's start with prospect theory. The main insight here is that people value pleasure and pain asymmetrically. That is to say, we feel less pleasure from winning than we feel pain from losing. If one day you find $100 on the sidewalk, you'll be happy. If on another day you lose $100 in cash accidentally, you'll be sad. But even though the amounts are the same, we experience the sadness more. It will stick with you longer. You feel more pain about losing than you felt pleasure about winning, even the same amount. Knowing this can be useful as we think about our own lives. Take just one example, investing in the stock market. Every day, and in fact every moment of the trading day, you can see your investment performance go up and down. Prospect theory shows that people will react more strongly to negative news than to positive news. As a result, many individual investors sell investments at the wrong time because they felt the pain of bad days more intensely than they felt the pleasure of good days. So what can we learn from this? Maybe we learn not to check our investment performance every day or every hour. Instead, once a month or once a quarter. That would prevent us from reacting emotionally to the ups and downs, but mostly the downs, of the market. Kahneman's most famous book is called Thinking Fast and Slow. In the book, he develops the idea that humans have two ways of making decisions, called System 1 and System 2. These two systems of decision-making evolved in human brains long ago. System 1 is the fast-thinking system, the system that makes instant judgments based on instinct and memory. Driving on an empty road is a System 1 task. System 2 is the slow-thinking system, where we think carefully and methodically. Parking in a tight parking space is a System 2 task. There are many insights in the book, too many to list here, but one of the big insights is this. System 1 uses heuristics, or shortcuts, to make a quick decision. The shortcuts are good enough. They help us make fast decisions. And for most of human history, and even in the present, we gain an advantage from making quick decisions that are good enough. Often, it's better to make a good enough decision quickly than to spend forever making the perfect decision. Often, but not always. Kahneman was not the first to identify the two modes of decision making, but he designed experiments to show exactly how these two systems work. Here's a great example. One of the shortcuts our brains use is called anchoring. We evaluate something relative to something else, even if that something else is irrelevant. Here's an example. Let's say someone advertises an online course that costs $199. You might think about it and decide that this is too much money. You would get maybe $100 in value from the course, so paying $199 is too much. This is a great example of System 2, the slow thinking system, giving you a good result. But now, let's imagine the company says the original price of the course was $2,000, and now this course is on sale for just $199. System 1, the fast thinking system, jumps into action using a heuristic called anchoring. It anchors on to the original price, $2,000. Then, in an instant, System 1 decides that the course is a major discount off the original price, and therefore a great value. System 1 makes the decision before System 2 even has a chance to get started. So what can we learn from this? If you find yourself making a quick decision using shortcuts, slow down, think about it for a day, and try to use System 2 as much as possible for the important things. Kahneman's most recent work was on noise. Noise in statistics is variability that has no explanation, just randomness. Kahneman co-authored a book called Noise, A Flaw in Human Judgment. This book showed that humans think we're really good at making judgments, but actually, we're far worse than we think we are. A judgment is a situation where you look at a set of facts and make a decision where there is no objectively known answer. Many professionals have to use judgment in their work. Teachers assign grades to student assignments. Doctors examine patient x-rays. Judges hand down sentences. Business owners provide price estimates to customers. The problem is that humans, even trained professionals, come to very different judgments even when looking at the same set of facts. So even when there should be no variation, or only a little variation, there is actually a wide variation in the way we interpret the same set of facts. Let's look at one example. In the U.S. justice system, a jury often decides if a defendant is guilty or not. But if the defendant is guilty, then it's a judge who determines the punishment. The judge uses his or her own judgment to determine the sentence. But the judge has a set of guidelines to follow. The guidelines are intended to make sentencing broadly fair. Kahneman's work on noise discovered that judges, even when faced with almost identical facts, they produce very, very different judgments. One judge might be very lenient, another very strict, even when they're supposed to decide the same way. And even one single judge might make very different decisions on cases depending on irrelevant factors like the time of day or the weather outside. Another example is radiologists. They look at x-rays and determine whether, in their professional opinion, anything in the x-ray might be cancer. Kahneman's work determined that individual radiologists often come to different conclusions, looking at exactly the same x-ray images, just at different times. This is the same trained professional looking at the same images, coming to different conclusions just days apart. Now, this is not to blame judges or radiologists. These are just two examples of how we humans can be very inconsistent in our judgments, even when we think we are being consistent. Now, the books I mentioned are both translated into many languages. So even if you're not interested in economics or psychology per se, you can still learn a lot from these books. Here they are: Thinking Fast and Slow and Noise, A Flaw in Human Judgment, both by Daniel Kahneman, the second book with two collaborators. In the section called Dig Deeper, I'm going to link to an episode of a podcast called Hidden Brain. And this is an episode that includes two long interviews with Kahneman, so you can hear him in his own words talk about his career and his experiments. To find that, go to plainenglish.com/678, click on the transcript for the story, and then the tab called Dig Deeper. Not long ago, in lesson 659, I showed you how to use the phrasal verb stick with. So if you stick with an activity, you continue doing that activity. Well, today I'm going to show you what it means for something to stick with you. We use this with emotions, lessons, or experiences that remain in your memory or in your consciousness for a long time. But let's start with experiences. We all have experiences that we forget and that we don't care about. But we also have experiences that stick with us. These experiences make a lasting impact on us. I told you a couple months ago that I was working in consulting in the real estate industry in 2008 when the financial crisis hit. And I was only a few years out of school at the time, and that experience stuck with me for a long time. This was a very hard time economically. People were losing their jobs, their homes. People in my company were losing their jobs. People I knew and respected and had worked with for a long time, victims of the recession. And that experience stuck with me. It continued to have an impact on me long after the recession had ended. I shared with you all that I was very cautious in my career after that because I had experienced that recession. The experience stuck with me. I don't think I was unusual in that. The psychologist Daniel Kahneman did a lot of research on how we perceive positive and negative things. And one of the things he found is that people experience negative emotions more strongly than they experience positive ones. So let's say you lose $100 one day and you win $100 another day. It's the same amount of value. Shouldn't you feel those two events with the same intensity? Sadness one day, happiness another day. It's $100 one way, $100 another way. Neither one is life-changing. But in fact, we feel losses far more intensely than we feel wins. That's what Kahneman showed. The pain of a loss sticks with us for longer than the pleasure of a win. That affects how people invest. That affects how people gamble. You can imagine that, right? words from another person can stick with you. How many words do you hear a day? A lot, right? You'll forget most of them. Some other words are useful, but they don't have a long-lasting impact on you. But some words will stick with you for a long time. You might do a great job on a project at work and receive compliments from a customer or from your boss. That type of positive statement might stick with you. It might give you the encouragement you need to do a good job in the future. But you might also have an argument with someone. That person might say some hurtful things, and those words might stick with you too. You might have a hard time repairing the friendship or relationship if those negative words stick with you. Advice can stick with you. You've probably gotten a lot of advice in your life, and you've probably forgotten the majority of it. It's okay, I've done the same thing. But sometimes, someone will give you some advice that sticks with you. The advice sticks with you. It continues to have an impact long after the person gave you that advice. I saw an article about the country singer Alana Springsteen. She said that Kenny Chesney, a famous singer, gave her some advice, and the advice stuck with her. He said, "Don't be in a rush and don't look for instant gratification." And Alana Springsteen said that advice stuck with her. She has remembered it for a long time. It has had a lasting impact on her life. And then finally, memories can stick with you. Just like advice, just like words, just like experience, you can use stick with you with memories too. As a kid, you probably had thousands of days with your parents, thousands of experiences. But I bet a few of those experiences have stuck with you as you've grown older. Maybe it was a family vacation. Maybe a holiday spent at home. Maybe a special thing you did together. But even if your parents, your grandparents aren't living any longer, I bet some memories have stuck with you. All right, that's it. We are at the end of Plain English for today. Nice job. Now listen, you got to the end of the audio. If you're listening in your car, if you're out for a walk, if you're in the kitchen making dinner or breakfast, basically, if you're away from your computer, just remember that there is more to the lesson than just the audio. You can go back and read the text later to catch some words you might have missed. You can take the quiz that goes along with the story. That's part of the free membership, by the way. If you're a Plus member, you can listen to the fast version. I'm about to record the fast version now. You can take the exercises, do the fill in the blanks, record your voice in the pronunciation exercise. Lots of stuff to do at plainenglish.com/678. So check that out when you have time. And if you're already on the website, well, you're close. Just click on the tab called Activities and you can get started exploring there. We'll be back on Thursday for a new lesson. See you then. You've reached the end of the audio lesson, but there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website, plainenglish.com. A lot of plainenglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, at plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says Free Samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says Free Samples at the top of plainenglish.com.